Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. If it's your first time to be here, we welcome you. We talk to a lot of amazing people on these broadcasts, and it's a delight to have you with us. I'm excited because we are welcoming back a lady who was here with us last week. Her name is Linda Wilson. And if you heard her, you know how vital and how important what she talks about really is. It's about changing your life if things aren't really great the way you are living right now. You may want to hear this. Linda has an amazing story, and what she's done with her life is remarkable. After undergoing 3 open-heart surgeries, she sacrificed her dream job, and then she's been grappling with depression over the last decade. She made a huge change in her life, and she has now become a beacon of resilience, reimagining her life and business from the ground up. And as a result, today she is a renowned coach, a mentor, a speaker, and an expert in emotional intelligence, emotional support, and ethical influence. And she is on a mission to inspire others on their journey to self-discovery. And when you work with Linda, you'll discover that analyzing yourself is a self-affirming, thought-provoking journey that'll help you start living the life that you are in the here and now with much more enlightened self-awareness and much deeper meaning. That's a little bit of what Linda is all about, and I think it's kind of remarkable that she is here to do this. It's a delight to welcome her back. She's based in Denver, Colorado, and again, her name is Linda Wilson. She has a great website, and I'll give you the information on that website as we go along in case you want to get in touch with Linda or learn more about her, because that's why we talk to people like this, so we can learn what they do and then help everybody find out, well, there's somebody I should talk to, you know? Maybe I could get in touch with her. So, Linda, welcome back. Nice to have you with us today. How are you? I know the weather's great out in Denver today. So how are you? Nice to have you here. Okay?
I'm doing fabulous, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
You know, reading a little bit about your background, and I read it in the very beginning. In fact, you explained this on your website about having these open-heart surgeries that made you sacrifice your dream job. I'm just wondering, what was your dream job at that time? Tell me.
I was a photographer. I was a nature and portrait photographer, and I worked with natural light, and I hauled my equipment around. I did everything outdoors, and I couldn't carry my equipment anymore. I had to give it up.
Well, boy, that's the same.
Yeah, it was.
I understand.
I did okay after the first one, but...
After 3.
But the second one was tough. Yeah,
open heart.
The third one
3
was just
open
last
heart.
Year.
Why does one need 3 open heart surgeries? You know, you would think one would be sufficient, wouldn't you?
Well, I had aortic dissection, and for those that remember John Ritter, that's what he died from. And I was very blessed to have been with people when I had it. I thought I was having a heart attack. They took me to the ER. It took them about 12 hours to figure out what it was, because that's about how long it takes to narrow out or to narrow down the diagnosis. And when they did the heart surgery, he says, your heart is beautiful. It's pristine. He says, but your aorta shredded, and he was able to go in and repair that. I've got more Tevlar in my heart than... Everything's much stronger now.
I give you credit. You sound great to me. Okay. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank
I
you.
Assume you're feeling better now. But boy, I can imagine that was that was pretty, you know, unnerving to go through all of that. Well, I have to ask you then, what made you turn your life around to do what you're doing today? How did this transformation come about in your life and made you decide to do this?
After the first two surgeries, then after the second surgery, I lost my voice. My vocal cord got paralyzed. And that takes about 18 months to determine whether it's actually paralyzed or just damaged. And
Wow. So
we decided to put an implant in. Very simple surgery, or it should have been, but I aspirated, got pneumonia, and pretty much died on in the hospital, and then they resuscitated me. They had to put me on a ventilator, and I got a super bug, and I spent 5 months in ICU isolation because I was contagious, and I couldn't talk. Before they put the implant in, I couldn't talk without screaming, and then all you could hear was this.
A squeak.
And that effort to get that much out was so emotionally and physically exhausting that, you know, when the implant was offered, I'm like, yeah, we'll take it. But after I came out of the hospital, I wasn't used to being around people, so I kind of withdrew. And then my brother died from my aortic dissection. He had a dissection, and he was not with someone. So after 3 months, we had to let him go. And then a year later, my husband died. And in a four-year period, I lost 5 people. Excuse me.
Wow.
And I went into deep depression.
No wonder. Listen to your story. This sounds terrible. It's absolutely remarkable. I'm talking to you today. I'm glad you're here. You've been through it. I mean, really. By the way, I didn't know
yeah.
you could do a transplant of vocal cords. Is that what it was? Seriously?
No, they put in a device that moves my vocal cord over so it touches my other vocal cord because it can't move by itself.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting indeed. I'm learning.
A very simple procedure, except for me.
I'm so sorry
you
experienced all of that. Well, look, I know it's remarkable that you're doing what you're doing today. My question was, what inspired you to become a coach and teach others the way you are doing this today? I'll repeat the question again. What inspired you to do this? I mean, you could have done nothing, you know? You could have just given up, but you didn't. So how did you make this decision?
Well, I did for a while, but such an amazing support group. And I've got family, I've got friends, I've met a couple of groups that are international and people that I've met online and talked with on Zoom but have never met in person. And all of those people and all of my family and friends were very, very supportive and helpful, either with prayer or with helping out around the house or with helping with things for my husband. And I had such a great support system, and I know that there are so many people who do not have that. And I wanted to give back and be a support for other people in whatever way they needed. And that's how it started.
So what did you have to do? Did you have to take courses? You talk about being, you know, a certified coach. I'm not sure if I can pronounce the name right, an influence. You say the name, Cialdini, is that right?
Cialdini. Dr. Robert Cialdini is the godfather.
Okay.
Right. He's the godfather of influence, and he's worked with all of the big organizations. He comes out and speaks for Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway at their annual meetings. And
right.
he works with all the large organizations, or he has in the years. And he's a professor at Arizona State University. He's retired now, although he still goes in every day. And his background is in ethical influence and persuasion. He wrote a book called Influence. And that book has made people like Warren Buffett, the gentleman from Spotify, I can't think of his name at the moment, some of the biggest money earners in the world
business
have used
executives.
That book.
Right.
Business
right.
executives.
Exactly.
And what it is everybody uses influence, but this is the ethical way to use it so you're not manipulating. And, you know, that's a big thing, especially when you when you're working with seniors or at-risk populations. You want to make sure that they are being accounted for in their situation and not being pushed to do something that they should not be doing. So these principles are so powerful because, you know, every one of us, everything we do, whether it's trying to get our kids to do their homework, trying to get the boss to see an idea that we might have, trying to get the neighbors next door to maybe to control their kids. Everything we do is influence, and it starts with influence. And this is the ethical way to do it. And he gives you all these little, I mean, you can make a big difference with just one or two words. One of the examples he uses is, do you remember the L'Oreal commercial that was, "We're expensive, but you're worth it"?
I do.
That made a huge, I mean, that campaign, that ad campaign brought in L'Oreal a ton of money, and that was Dr. Cialdini's brainchild, because it's true.
Well, listen, I know you, I'm going to get back to the subject of influence because you have something starting up next week that is on this subject. But let me ask you what you do to help people today. What is your role as a coach? Answer that for me, please.
As a coach, I work with my clients. If we're in a group setting, you know, they pick the program that they want to sign up with, and we work through the material, and I help them move forward. I don't do the work for them. I help guide them through the work, give them more insight on the work. One-on-one, I sit down with them and we figure out what it is they're working on right now. What have they got coming? What have they got that they're focusing on? And I have a couple of different programs, but there's one where we just take 90 days and we focus in on whatever it is they want to focus on for the next 90 days, and I help them work the process through. We come up with action steps. We come up with guiding ideas, and we take it a week at a time, and we work through it for 90 days and get them on their path to getting that done. We can also, if they don't know what it is that they want to do, they just know that they want more in life, I help them find their purpose, passion, and path through coaching.
What is the situation for the average person who comes to you for help? Number one, do you work with men and women, or is it primarily women?
I work with both. I work with both.
You do.
And
what are they kind of lost in life at that moment? You know, there are coaches out there who help you in almost every aspect of your life. If your business career is not going well, there are folks, our business executive business coaches who will help you. It doesn't matter, but you know, if you're having some kind of health issues, there are energy healers who will talk to you and help you try and get rid of the pain or whatever it is that's bothering you. What do people come to you looking for?
A lot of times they come to me looking for focus and, how to persevere through things that are showing up that might be getting in their way. Mm-hmm. One of the things I make sure my folks know, my clients know, is that the closer you are to fulfilling, whether it's your dream or your project or whatever you're working on right now, the more things you're going to come up against that are going to try to stop you. So persistence and perseverance is very key. And with just my personal background, that's something I'm very good at. I can give them steps and tips on how to persevere, how to think of things differently, how to look at things in a different perspective to work around the roadblocks or the speed bumps that might be hopping up in their path as they get closer to completion.
Well, when you started your business, you call it Loving Life's Journey. I think that's a very interesting title. Explain how you came up with that and why. What does it really mean? I mean, it kind of makes sense, but what's your version of why you came up with that name?
I came up with that name because we're going to go through many, many things in life, and not all of them are going to be fun and exciting and beautiful. Some of them are exciting in all the wrong ways. But we have two choices. We can give up in despair, or we can learn to love our life through those. And I chose to love my life along the journey, and that's why I picked that name.
Well, I think it's right. You know, you could have given up in despair, listening to the story of what you've been through, but you didn't, and you decided you wanted to help others, which is, you know, I think that's great. That's really remarkable. And you were talking about influence. Let me just bring this up. If one looks at your website,
okay. By
the way, let me give your website out because it's very interesting. It's your name. It's Linda Marie Wilson, lindamariewilson.com. Very simple, easy to spell, lindamariewilson.com. If you go there, you do podcasts. You do a lot of things. You give a complimentary daily thought. Do you send everybody a daily thought, or do they have to sign up to get your daily thought?
They have to sign up to get it. It goes into your email every day. So all I ask is an email address, and then I can pop those out there to you. So those are free, complimentary. And I just like to do those. They're kind of uplifting, motivational a little bit, just kind of thoughtful things to kind of keep you focused for the day.
Well, let's talk about this Principles of Influence Mastermind course that you're going to have. It's a course that I'm not sure how long it runs, but it begins next Wednesday. And this is people wherever, it doesn't matter where they are, this is online, right? So if they're in California or they're in New York or Florida, am I right? Tell me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where they are. It's online. We do live, and I'll record the interactions as well so they can go back and listen to them again, or if they missed the teaching call, they can go in and get the notes. But it's a eight-week program. And
right.
We go over these principles of there's seven principles of influence, and then we start with contrast because contrast builds through all of the rest of the seven. So it's an eight-week program where we go through all of them and then close out, and they can bring an influence challenge that they have, and we'll work through it.
Well, let's talk about it for a moment. Explain when you said contrast. You're going to work on contrast. You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. What does contrast mean? Explain. What is that?
Well, contrast is part of each of the all of the principles. Well, contrast is a part of life. So for everything for every reaction, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Contrast works the same way. For a good, there's a bad. For an up, there's a down. And so through these principles of influence, with reciprocation, there's contrast. I give you something. You feel the need to give me something back. Does it need to be the same value? Can it be of lesser value? Can it be of higher value? That's part of the contrast. And the liking, there's the principle of liking where you feel connected to the people around you. And sometimes the contrast is maybe you don't feel that feeling of liking. You're not connecting with that person. So it's the same, but it's the opposite. And I'm not spitting that out real good this morning, but
well, that's all right. I just wanted to get a little bit
from all of those. Yeah,
a little bit brief introduction, because it's a you stay on here, by the way. This course starts September 27th at 3:00 Eastern Time. And you say,
right.
Why wait? There's only room for 12 participants, so get in now before they're gone. Once September 27th arrives, the door is going to close. Boom.
yep.
So you're doing this with a limited number of people online. Why do you limit it, by the way, to 12 people? I presume you could have 100 people out there if it's online, but they all participate, I guess, is the way it is, right?
They do, and it's a form of a mastermind group, and so there's interaction between the individuals, and I cap it at 12 so that we can get our interactions and our dealings each week done within that hour time frame. I honor everybody's time, and so I need to be able to fit it within that hour's time frame, and 12 is about the max you can have that can actually actively participate in that 60 minutes. And I close the door on the 27th to whoever's in there, whether it's 12 people or not, because we need to have the continuity of the group. The group members learn to know each other and trust each other, so we can't have new people popping in and people popping out during that 8-week period. It's a cohesive group because they're going to work together
sense.
And help each other as well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I understand that. Let me ask you this. When someone does join your group and goes through this 8-week program, what do you think they come away with at the end of it? How will they have been changed, do you think? What will they get out of it? I guess that's the most important question.
What I strive for them to get out of it is that there are many ways to deal with situations and to help people come to the decisions you want them to make without manipulating them. And also to get an understanding maybe if when they're in interactions with people, how they might have felt they were being treated in that interaction, and to draw on the good things of those interactions and the things that didn't make them feel so good, and to have those in the forefront of their mind so when they're working with other individuals, they are working in cohesion and integrity, and that they don't make people feel uncomfortable with how they're doing it. Because to me, it's about the ethical part of the influence and the non-manipulation. You know, if I'm working with someone to sell them a program, I'm not really trying to sell them the program. I'm trying to be of service to them. And if what I'm offering isn't going to solve their problem, then ethically I need to not sell them into that course. I can refer them on to a course that may better address the needs that they have. And where that works in my favor is maybe I didn't get them into my program this time, but when they need what I have, they're going to remember that I didn't try to push them into something that they didn't need and would have been a waste of money for them.
Right.
So
I get that.
It behooves it for me, and just because personally that's how I work. I can't sleep at night if I'm trying to get people to buy something that they don't need and won't help them. I'm not after it just for the money. I'm after it for the outcome, and the outcome needs to be what they need it to be and not what I need it to be.
Have you done this program before?
Because
I assume you have. Am I right on that?
I have.
Yeah.
I have, yeah. I've been doing this since June.
And,
I got
and
certified
what kind
in
of,
June. And
I was going to ask, what kind of reaction do you get from people who finished it? What do they say to you, your feedback?
They tell me that it's very eye-opening and very enlightening. And also that with their influence challenges as we finish those, they see that they were probably overcomplicating what they were trying to do and that there was a simpler way to get to that end result that they got. And it allows them to see things from more than one side, which I really like because I'm big on people understanding perspective and seeing things from a different perspective. My former photography days made that very apparent, that if you're looking and looking and looking at something and you can't see a solution, you need to change the way you look at it. And that's the same way when we're working with potential customers and even just with family and friends. Sometimes you need to step back and look at it in a completely different way in order to find the solution you're looking for.
Well, you know, listening to your story and what you've been through, why do you think it's essential for people not to dwell in their grief? I mean, you're a really, you know, a great example of someone who did not dwell in their grief. Why is that so important?
Grief is never going to go away, and it can pop up years later. It can pop up at any time because you never know what, you know, there's certain things that might trigger that you may not be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to live in that space when that happens, but don't let it consume you. What I found is that my grief got so bad that I literally spent 18 months curled up on the corner of my couch, not communicating to anybody except through Facebook and text. And that's not healthy. Luckily, I was not suicidal and I wasn't going to harm myself, although I don't know that I would have done anything to save myself either. I just was so numb to life. And that's not a healthy way to live. That's not a healthy way to interact. You need to be, you can go there for a day or two. I'm not saying that, you know, suck it up, you know, get over your grief. That doesn't happen. But don't let it be all-consuming for an extended period of time. If you're stuck like I was, you need to get professional help. Now, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. But I know that I needed counseling and therapy to get out of that, and that's what I got. I realized that I can't sit on my couch for the rest of my life. That's not the life I was meant to lead, and that wasn't why I was allowed to survive all the things I survived, so that I could sit on the couch and feel sorry for myself. So I still experience the time of grief, but it's not crippling like it was. And
that's why you say it's so important for people to find a purpose in life. You found a purpose in life.
Yes.
Did a coach help you?
Yes, I did.
Did you go to a coach?
Oh, all coaches have a coach because we need help
okay.
outside of our sphere of our sphere of influence. My coach and mentor, I've been working with him since 2009, and he helped me through a lot of what I went through. But also, God just woke me up one day and said, hey, you know, I brought you back. There was a reason for that.
Yeah.
Get off the couch. And, you know, you can only feel sorry for yourself for so long before even you don't want to be around you, right?
I hear that. Linda, you know, I love what you're doing. You know, your website is so great. I wish we had time to talk more, but we've run out of time for this. Linda Wilson is our guest name. She's out there helping people who've been through much of what she's gone through herself, maybe even not quite as bad or in some cases even worse. But she's there to help you find a purpose in life, and she will do it. If you go to her website, here's how you can get in touch with her. LindaMarieWilson.com. LindaMarieWilson.com. And, you know, her business is called Loving Life's Journey. If you're not loving life's journey right now, then you got to go to her and get her help. And that's your goal, right, Linda? You want to help people to love life's journey. I gather that's what you want to do. And you're doing it, right?
I am. I'm blessed to be able to do that. Thank you.
You are so good. I appreciate that. It's been lovely talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your day with us. And listen, have a great day and live a good life, Linda. Thank you very, very much.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on Close Up Talk Radio. Bye.